All this time Roger Chillingworth was looking at the minister with the grave and intent regard of a physician towards his patient. But in spite of this outward show, the latter was almost convinced of the old man's knowledge, or at least his confident suspicion, with respect to his own interview with Hester Prynne. The physician knew then that in the minister's regard he was no longer a trusted friend, but his bitterest enemy. So much being known, it would appear natural that a part of it should be expressed. It is singular, however, how long a time often passes before words embody things, and with what security two persons who choose to avoid a certain subject may approach its very verge and retire without disturbing it. Thus the minister felt no apprehension that Roger Chillingworth would touch, in express words, upon the real position which they sustained towards one another. Yet did the physician, in his dark way, creep frightfully near the secret. "Were it not better," said he, "that you use my poor skill tonight? Verily, dear sir, we must take pains to make you strong and vigorous for this occasion of the election discourse. The people look for great things from you, apprehending that another year may come about and find their pastor gone." "Yes, to another world," replied the minister with pious resignation. "Heaven grant it be a better one. For in good sooth, I hardly think to tarry with my flock through the flitting seasons of another year. But touching your medicine, kind sir, in my present frame of body I need it not." "I joy to hear it," answered the physician. "It may be that my remedies, so long administered in vain, begin now to take due effect. Happy man were I, and well deserving of New England's gratitude, could I achieve this cure." "I thank you from my heart, most watchful friend," said the Reverend Mr. Dimmesdale with a solemn smile. "I thank you, and can but requite your good deeds with my prayers." "A good man's prayers are golden recompense," rejoined old Roger Chillingworth as he took his leave. "Yea, they are the current gold coin of the New Jerusalem, with the king's own mint mark on them." Left alone, the minister summoned a servant of the house and requested food, which being set before him, he ate with ravenous appetite. Then flinging the already written pages of the election sermon into the fire, he forthwith began another, which he wrote with such an impulsive flow of thought and emotion that he fancied himself inspired, and only wondered that heaven should see fit to transmit the grand and solemn music of its oracles through so foul an organ pipe as he. However, leaving that mystery to solve itself, or go unsolved forever, he drove his task onward with earnest haste and ecstasy. Thus the night fled away, as if it were a winged steed, and he careering on it. Morning came and peeped blushing through the curtains, and at last sunrise threw a golden beam into the study and laid it right across the minister's bedazzled eyes. There he was, with the pen still between his fingers, and a vast immeasurable tract of written space behind him.
This ends Disc 7.